Thank you so much, Dr. Gore. And he'll be around for some questions later. Our next speaker is Dr. Henry Claassen. Dr. Claassen is one of our researchers here at UTI in the Discovery Eye Foundation Laboratories. And he's done some fascinating things. I think you're going to like some of his illustrations, too. And he has been working collaboratively with universities around the world on macular degeneration and stem cell and retinal regeneration. So he has a lot to tell you that I think you'll enjoy hearing.
It's good to be here. We're going to shift gears a little bit. So you heard quite a bit about the underlying basis of macular degeneration, particularly the genetics underlying it. Now comes the part where we try to do something about it. Now, I'll just give you a disclaimer. I'm not going to claim that stem cells can cure macular degeneration now, and maybe not ever, but I think they have a role to play in the therapy. Not so much necessarily a cure, but in the therapeutic treatment of AMD, and we definitely need a lot more treatments for AMD. I'm also going to give you a little bit of background on stem cells and what they are and what they do and the different types of stem cells. It's going to be a little bit of a superficial view, but hopefully it gives you a little bit of perspective on this rather complicated topic. Now, just to back up a little bit about what I do, I'm trying to repair the retina. That's a daunting task. And there's really two different approaches we're using. One's a little bit easier than the other, and Dr. Gorin referred to both of these. One is advanced drug delivery. So if we can deliver drugs like protein growth factors to the back of the eye in a sustained manner, then maybe we have a treatment that could help conditions of the retina before the degeneration really gets going. One possibility is that stem cells could even enter into this type of treatment by being a drug delivery device. In other words, cells are the best way of making a protein. And if your drug is a protein, then a stem cell might be a great way to deliver that protein to the retina. The other possibility is that we can actually replace cells in the retina. Now, as Dr. Gorin says, that doesn't mean making a brand new retina from scratch in the back of your eye. It's more about replacing cells that have died. I'm going to show you some scientific evidence that perhaps this isn't such a far-reaching idea anymore, although just a few decades ago that sounded outright insane. So in terms of how we would replace a cell, one way is to use a stem cell, and I'll show you why that's an attractive approach. Another is tissue engineering, which might have more application in macular degeneration. And the reason is because multiple cell types and multiple tissue layers can be affected by that particular condition. We need to replace these layer by layer in the most severe cases. And perhaps using a combination of stem cells on polymer scaffolds and layers of mature cell types like the pigment cells. Perhaps we can slowly build up through the research, layer by layer, the missing parts of the retina. Again, that's a bit futuristic, but there's reasons to think that might have a role to play in the future. Now, what is a stem cell? You know, we should back up a moment because it's good to have a little bit of a handle on what is a stem cell and why it's important. So there's two really fundamental properties of a stem cell. One is called self-renewal, and that means the stem cell has to be made more of itself. It has to regenerate more stem cells. And the reason is, if the stem cell can't make more stem cells, who's going to do it? And then you're going to run out of stem cells. So a stem cell, first of all, has to make more of itself. And then it has to generate a mature cell type. That means it has to regenerate something of interest, something of use to your body. You can't walk with stem cells. You can't talk with stem cells. You need the actual mature tissues that perform these functions. And so the stem cell's role is to make those tissues, to make the cell types that make up those tissues. It's a complicated process, but that's what they can do. So they make more themselves, and they make whatever else you need. So that's what makes a stem cell. There are different types of stem cells. There's something, what we might call a true stem cell, and then there's something we can call an adult stem cell. The reason we call a true stem cell a stem cell is it really fundamentally obeys the rules that are laid down for what constitutes a stem cell. And that's why we talk about these embryonic stem cells. And these are the ones that generated some controversy under the last administration because they came from embryos. The fact is that an embryonic cell can make any cell of the body. Well, that makes it a true stem cell because it really doesn't have a lot of limitations. It can make more of itself and it can make more of just about anything. So it's really a stem cell and it can continue to do that indefinitely. That's what constitutes a true stem cell. An adult stem cell is much more focused. And an adult stem cell can make a particular tissue type. So for instance, as we are here now, we have stem cells of the adult type still in our body. We have skin stem cells that can regenerate our skin. We have stem cells in our intestines to redevelop the lining of our intestines because that's constantly being lost and it has to be replaced. You know, your blood cells only last weeks to months, so you have to replace those, regenerate them all the time, constantly. So you have stem cells in your bone marrow that are constantly resupplying you with blood. So those are adult stem cells. They can't necessarily make everything, unless, of course, the scientist gets involved and starts messing with their genetics. That's a whole different story. But normally speaking, these stem cells are very focused on what they do. So that's why you can come away from this knowing that an adult stem cell is very focused and an embryonic stem cell has the world before it. So it's kind of a recapitulation of human development, if you will. So here's just an image of what I've been talking about. You start with cells at the beginning of life, when you have an embryo that's just a ball of cells. And then as this ball of cells turns into a fetus and you start to get specific tissue types. Remember back here, all the cells in this inner cell mass are basically the same cell. And if you take them out into a dish, you have an embryonic stem cell. This early embryo is basically a ball of stem cell. That's what it is. And then when it becomes a developing fetus, it's not a ball of stem cells anymore. It's a ball of more mature progenitor cells that are generating the different cell types. And these are examples of different cell types. And here's what an embryonic stem cell colony looks like in a dish. And here's a retinal progenitor cell type, the type of cell we work with for the retina, growing in a dish. And you can see they're similar, but they're also different. So if an embryonic stem cell can do anything, why would anybody focus on an adult stem cell in a laboratory? One is that there's proven clinical efficacy for these if you use them in the right way. For instance, bone marrow stem cells are being used right now. So there is a stem cell type that's in active use at the moment. There's also less we have to do. When you're working with an embryonic stem cell, it has so many potentials. It could do so many things. You have to school and direct the cell into the direction you want it to go, or else it'll become a misbehaved youth, if you will, a juvenile delinquent. You gotta keep an eye on these things. Whereas the adult stem cell is better behaved and is more likely to do what you want it to do because it's already moving in that direction. It already has a whole lifetime of education behind it. So it's easier to work with from a scientific standpoint. And that also makes it simpler and safer from a logistical standpoint. Now in terms of stem cells in the eye, there's again a whole variety of different stem cells that you might hear about related to the eye. For instance, there's a corneal limbal type of stem cell. That we all have that cell that's right around the outside of the central part of the eye. It's on the edge of the white of your eye. And these cells repopulate a thin layer of cells on the front of your eye, the clear corneal epithelium. It's just the top layer over the front clear part. So every time that gets scraped off, and if you've ever had that happen, you know it's very painful, but within a day or two, it grows back. Well, it wouldn't grow back unless you had these stem cells around there that are, they're like a skin stem cell, but they specifically make the clear layer over the front of the eye. These stem cells are also in clinical use right now. There was a very recent paper out of Italy showing that these are effective in a majority of patients selected for use with these particular limbal type of stem cell. Now these cells, remember they're an adult stem cell type, they can't necessarily do everything. You're not necessarily going to replace your bone marrow with these cells, fix your brain, fix your heart, you know. They're just there for the front of the cornea, but for that they're very good, very safe, and they're already useful. We talked about embryonic cells. People are working with these in the laboratory, but this isn't something that's ready for prime time. Neural stem cells are a type of cell that's already specified to become neural tissue. Our retinal progenitor cells are a subset of this type of cell. These are still in development, but they're probably moving along a little quicker than the embryonic because, again, they're more specified, there's less to worry about, and it's easier to get approval, and it's more likely they're going to do what you want them to. The mesenchymal stem cell is like a subset of your bone marrow stem cell. They're interesting cells as well, and some people are using those in the eye. And like I said, our retinal progenitor is really a type of neural stem cell, but it's specific to the retina. It doesn't make brain all of the brain tissue, but it does make the retina. So that's the cell we're focused on. This is an image of some of these cells growing in the dish. They're not normally fluorescent, but we've tagged them with some antibodies so we can analyze what proteins they're making, and that makes for some rather spectacular pictures. These cells, again, are obtained from the developing retina. They're not obtained from the embryo, and they're not obtained from an adult. They're in between. The retina has to still be developing. And then these cells can be grown in a dish and then transplanted. And they have some rather interesting behaviors once you transplant them. They can migrate through the retinal tissue without disrupting it. They can integrate into the architecture of the retina and apparently into the circuitry of the retina. And they can differentiate into retinal cell types. I'm going to show you some of this data. Now, when you put a stem cell into the retina or anywhere else, if you want to find out what it's doing, you need to be able to track that cell. That's not an easy task because remember, these cells are like shapeshifters. They can generate all kinds of mature cell types. So if they're doing their job properly, they melt right into the surroundings and you'd never find them again. So while the trick that scientists use nowadays is a fluorescent tag so that you can find this bright glowing stem cell in the tissue after you transplant it. And it's a great tool. One way to get these cells is to find it, not find, but develop an animal that has a fluorescent jellyfish gene that's expressed throughout its body, and then the cells have this bright colored tag, and then you can transplant them. So, for instance, we can take stem cells from these green mice, this green pig, or this red cat, and then we can find them after we transplant them, and I'll show you some of that. So here are cells from the retina of green mice. You start with a broken up developing retina. You see these are little pups, and then we break up the retina, and then we add growth factors to these cells, and those growth factors drive the stem cells into their proliferation mode. So they're growing and growing and making more of themselves, which is, remember, one of the qualifications of being a stem-like cell. And so as they're growing, they're making these little clusters. These aren't just one cell, these are clusters of cells. As we continue to add the growth factors, they continue to grow. And we can do genetic analysis on these cells. And what we find is they express a lot of the genes that are known to be important in retinal development. In other words, these are the cells that are making the retina in the first place. And then after transplantation, and these are studies in animals, just so you know, we're transplanting green fluorescent retinal progenitor cells or neural progenitors to the retina in animals. We can find the cells because they glow bright green in this case. The surrounding retina is here, but you don't see it because it wasn't labeled with the tag. So the green fluorescence allows us to examine what the stem cells are doing after transplantation. And we can see bipolar-like cells in the retina. We can see a photoreceptor-like cell. Here's a cluster of photoreceptor cells. Then we can look even more closely, and we can see that they're making synapses in the right part of the retina, which would suggest that these photoreceptors are not only aligned in the right part of the retina, but they're making the connections. What good would a photoreceptor be if it's not talking to the rest of your visual system? So, so far, so good. We've also done some experiments along with our colleagues, Mike Young and Peter Coffey, looking at whether these cells have a benefit in terms of vision. This is a little bit of a complicated story, but how do you test vision in a mouse? You can't pick it up in the eye chart and say, well, what do you see? You see the big E there. So everybody knows that rodents like to run around on a running wheel in the dark. So this is a way we can test them to see whether they're sensitive to light more or less, and we can quantify that. So what we're going to do is have three groups of animals running in the dark. One of them is in green, is the what we're going to call our normal baseline. In fact, it's green mice, but it turns out they can see pretty well. So that's going to be our evidence of seeing. The black indicates animals that have a blinding condition. So those are our blind mice. And then the blue is the retinal progenitor cell transplant. So to back up a moment, we got these animals in the dark. All three of them are running. So the bar, high bar is just are the counts as the wheels going around in the dark. So they're all running in the dark, which means they're happy and they're behaving in a normal manner. So then what we do, you remember if you ever had a hamster when you were a kid, you hear it running and running and that squeaking wheel's driving you crazy all night. So you go in there and you flip on the light. Then the animal just stops immediately. Then you turn off the light, go back to bed, it starts up again. That's the basis of our test. So if the animal sees the light, it stops running. So for instance, this blind mouse at different light levels continues to run. That means it's not seeing the light very well. Look at the green animal, that's our normal one. It stops running, it sees the light very well at different light levels. Our transplant is somewhere in between, but it does show a statistically significant improvement over the blind animal. So something about the transplantation procedure is actually improving their ability to detect the light. It means they're seeing better, to the extent we can say that about a mouse. And I should say that these blind animals weren't just blind, they were given a sham control, so that helps us understand something about the procedure. It wasn't just the fact that we stuck a needle in the back of the eye that did this, it was something about the cells. And here's a little side trip. If you're going to transplant a cell or anything to the body, you need to consider the immunology. You just heard about the role that immunology can play. Immunology is our friend. It helps protect us against dreaded diseases. It's not perfect. There are some diseases our immune system won't protect us against. And once in a while, our immune system goes renegade and starts attacking us. And one of those situations is when you get a transplant. The whole story about blood transfusions, you got to realize that's an actual transplant. And for a lot of times, people knew that people bled to death. That's something that's been going on since prehistory. But if you took a rabbit's blood or a sheep's blood and put it in a human, it didn't work. There was something went wrong. There's a rejection response. And we know that if you get a kidney or a Are we running low? Oh, I better speed up here. Anyway, what's beautiful about the stem cells is they're not rejected. At least these particular type of retinal progenitor cells, they seem to have a quality where they do not provoke a rejection response. So we're going to move a little quicker here. Here's some cells from the green pig growing in the dish, and we do the same kind of analysis to show that not only were our mouse cells looking like stem cells, but so are these cells from the pig. We can transplant these cells into the pig eye, and we see that they make photoreceptors, and these are different photoreceptor proteins, rhodopsin and recovering, and they're developing these photoreceptor rosettes. Here's one of these red cats developed in Korea. We can generate the same kind of cells, but this time they're red. And transplanting them to the retina of a blind cat, we can see that they integrate into the retina. And here they're making a supporting cell, a Müller cell, that shows you how well these can integrate, because this cell is extending across the entirety of the host retina. And we can also develop cells like this from human tissue, and have done that. And in Mike Young's lab, they transplanted some of these cells into blind mice with immune suppression, and they were able to get photoreceptor-like cells developing from these human cells. And there are groups in China transplanting cells like this, and the point I want to make is that it would appear that these, again, are not rejected by the body, which is good news. So we're trying to target retinal degenerations, both retinitis pigmentosa and eventually age-related macular degeneration, which is just a little more complicated. We think it could apply to other retinal diseases as well. And I just want to acknowledge many people involved in the data I showed. And thank you for your support.
That's awesome. We'll be speaking at a later...